Due to the coronavirus pandemic and the resulting ban on public assembly of large numbers of people, Crown of Life Baptist Church will not be holding worship services at the Cambria Hotel until further notice. Please contact me at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com to learn what programs we have implemented to overcome this obstacle. Please pray for the Lord's intervention and for the health of the people of our nation and those around the world as this modern-day plague sweeps across the globe. May your faith in God and His Word increase as a result of these chilling events.
Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from His sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Today's message is a tribute to my mentor, my pastor, and my friend, Dr. Gregory J. Dixon, who will always be considered one of Indiana's all-time greatest preacher, teacher, author, and theologian, achieving a greatness like that of evangelist Billy Sunday and Isaac McCoy. Isaac McCoy was a prominent early 19th century Baptist missionary to the Native American Indians. Dr. Dixon was a man of impeccable character and integrity. He did not shrink back when the time came to speak the mind of Christ on the many pressing moral issues of his day and age. He would take up the mantle and lead the charge through the uncharted waters of adversity as long as it would bring glory to the Son of God and defend the pure, undefiled Word of God. He was beloved by thousands and feared by the hell-bent workers of iniquity. Dr. Dixon labored earnestly for his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who saved him when he was a young orphan boy. A soon-to-be-released autobiography, The Boy with No Name, describes the turbulent childhood he endured until he received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. His late pastor, Art Wilson, guided him to go on to Bible College, which was the newly formed Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, where he and the late Jerry Falwell were classmates and longtime friends. Dr. Dixon passionately adored his Lord and the Lord's church. He was immensely burdened to defend the sovereignty of Christ over his church, and he often taught on the subject, the lordship of Jesus Christ over his bride. He strived to keep it pure, without spot, holy, and blameless with the washing of water by the Word of God. The movement he started was aptly entitled the Unregistered Baptist Church Fellowship, or sometimes informally called the Free Church Movement. Dr. Dixon, as a young man, became the pastor of the Indianapolis Baptist Temple in 1955 and labored tirelessly to build the young church to be a beacon of truth in the heart of Indiana. In 1971, Indianapolis Baptist Temple was nationally recognized as the 11th largest church in America. The congregation led by Dr. Dixon tirelessly labored alongside their pastor to build a huge bus ministry that traversed almost every street in Indianapolis, transporting thousands of children and adults to services every Sunday. Over the many decades, untold tens of thousands of people came to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, and many were baptized in the church's baptistry. Dr. Dixon reached a multitude of others through the medium of radio, television, and in print. Many preacher boys and missionaries came out of the temple during those surging years of growth, including the establishment of many Baptist churches across Indiana. In the mid-1980s, 700 miles from Indianapolis, as a young engineer, I learned of Dr. Dixon and the Unregistered Church Movement via newsprint before I was even saved. And before I was saved, I heard Dr. Dixon give a God in Government presentation in Nashville, Tennessee, in the late 80s. Naturally, after I received Christ as my Savior via the medium of radio, I myself was drawn to Indianapolis, Dr. Dixon, and the Bible College he established. A year after I came to Indianapolis, I was honored to have him perform the marriage ceremony for my wife and I. As the Apostle Paul sat at the feet of his great mentor, Gamaliel, I had the pleasure to sit at the feet of Dr. Greg Dixon, gleaning as much as I could absorb from a giant of a man of God as he was. He was not afraid of controversy as long as he was fighting for a valiant cause for Christ. He knew Jesus was his commander-in-chief and the captain of his salvation. Dr. Dixon loved the Holy Bible and all the doctrinal truths found between its pages, and was willing to allow God to reveal to him new truths as he searched the Scriptures, as he grew older and wiser, even at the cost of losing all earthly possessions and prestige among his peers. As long as he apprehended a closer relationship with Christ and the knowledge of the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and being made conformable unto his death. Psalm 116, verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Dr. Gregory J. Dixon was truly a saint in every sense of the word. He was admired by many, and his writings will long outlast his life and be treasured by multitudes in the years to come as more turbulent days come upon the churches. Dr. Dixon's worth and contribution to the churches may not be fully felt until the return of Christ. because of the many naysayers who failed to heed his ample warnings of the pending judgment at the judgment seat of Christ upon the late 20th and 21st century adulterous Laodicean churches of America. Hear the words of God. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. The Bible goes on to say, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The true, unblemished church falls under his name and his name only, and is the called out assembly of faithful believers, also known as the body of Christ. Dr. Dixon's parting word to me was to warn the preachers not to forget to preach on the ever-looming torment of hell for the ungodly. The King James Bible says it best, "The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God." Dr. Gregory J. Dixon went home to be with his Lord this past October 20th, 2019, at the age of 87, spending almost 70 of those years serving his King. Well done, Dr. Dixon, for you shall hear those precious words from your blessed and only potentate, and you shall wear a crown and sit upon a throne with your Lord whom ye love so dearly and served so faithfully on this side of death. You will be greatly missed here. We know that you cannot come to us, but we will come to you. Dr. Dixon is survived by his lovely wife, Wanda, who served alongside of him for 66 years. He is also survived by his 3 children, 9 grandchildren, and 4 great-grandchildren. Please enjoy this morning's message by Dr. Dixon. His last sermon that he ever preached in the pulpit was preached at Crown of Life Baptist Church this past August on the 25th, entitled Signs of Christ's Return. No one, and I mean no one, loved to preach more on this topic of Christ's return than Dr. Dixon. Dr. Dixon's mind was amazingly sharp right up to his last breath. He suffered for decades in his physical body. However, not so anymore, as he is wonderfully comforted in paradise in the bosom of Abraham. Please keep his wife and family in your prayers. God bless you, my friends, as you listen to today's timely message.
Now, we're going to digress just a little bit. I'd planned to bring a message on the 5th chapter of the book of James today. However, we've been working diligently on the Unregistered Baptist Fellowship meeting program, and I've spent so much time on it, and I've been dealing with a preacher who does not believe in the kingdom position that I've come to take, and also your pastor, and also on the position on the rapture that I've come to take. And so I prepared this message, this lesson, for this pastor and sent it to him. And so I really didn't have time to prepare another message. And so instead of just hobnobbing something together, and I'd spent so much time on this message that I'm going to go ahead and bring it to you today. And this is the message that I had prepared for this pastor. So I'm going to bring it today entitled, When Will Jesus Come? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we don't suggest that we could teach anybody anything except the Holy Spirit would give us an unction. We're asking in the name of the Lord Jesus that you would help us today. We pray that you would open our spiritual eyes and hearts. Now, Father, we're not going to try to cram anything down anybody's throat. If you do not open our eyes and open our spiritual eyes and hearts, then we don't want anybody to accept anything that we would say. If the Holy Spirit does not teach us, then we wouldn't want to be taught. We pray now that you would speak to our hearts, draw us very near to you, and help us above anything on this earth to be ready when our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus, comes again. the last thing on this earth that we would ever want would not to be ready when our blessed Savior comes again. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.
Amen.
When will Jesus come? Now, I tell people sometimes that I was a bus kid, except they didn't have buses back when I was just a teenager. But I rode the bus to Sunday school. In other words, I'd walk down to the bus stop, get on a bus, pay the fare. It dropped me off at Cleveland and Douglas Street, and I'd walk the three blocks down to the church, Wichita Baptist Tabernacle. And then sometimes the pastor would come by, and he and his wife would take me to church. Every time the pastor and his wife would come by, and I would get in the car, the first thing the pastor's wife would say, Mrs. Wilson would say, "Jesus is coming soon." Well, that was about 70 years ago. Every time I'd see her, she'd say, "Jesus is coming soon." Well, he hadn't come yet. But when you consider that he went away 2,000 years ago, 70 years is not very long, is it? So he is coming soon. And the scripture says, "The coming of the Lord draweth nigh." 2,000 years ago, the scripture says, "The coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Well, how can 2,000 years pass, and yet the scripture says, "The coming of the Lord draweth nigh"? What does that mean? The coming of the Lord draweth nigh, and yet 2,000 years have gone by, and he's not come yet. So when is he going to come? See? In the book of Matthew, chapter 24 and verse 3, scripture says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be?" Because he had been talking about, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'm going to raise it up again. Well, he was talking about his body. See, well, they thought he was talking about the temple. Tell us, when shall these things be? Then they said, "And what shall be the sign of thy coming?" Now, they were not talking about the rapture. They were talking about his coming in glory to set up his kingdom, because they didn't know anything about the rapture. They didn't know anything about the secret coming. The only thing they knew about was his public coming, his coming in glory to set up his kingdom, when every eye would see him. And of the end of the world. Now here's where the confusion comes in. The translators of the King James Version translated this word "world" properly, except words have meaning. Now you have to remember that for the most part, the translators of the King James Version were reformed in their doctrine. They were post-millennial in their doctrine. Now, instead of translating this word "world age," which would have been clearer as far as the meaning is concerned, they translated the word "world." So most people, when they read the word, they think of it as the end of the world. That's what most people automatically think of. Let me give you an example. Look at Matthew chapter 28, 18 to 20. Jesus said, I will be with you to the end of the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world. But that word world means age, even to the end of the age. See, the scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, those who teach Reformed doctrine do not divide the word of truth. They do not divide the scriptures into dispensations. Now, we don't have time to get into that today. I'm sure that Pastor Greg will teach dispensational truth and teach the covenants. There are seven dispensations. Right now, we're in the age of grace. Right now, we're in the church age. So this means the end of the world or the end of the age. So the end of the age. So Jesus said, I'll be with you to the end of the age, this age. You see. So that's what we're talking about. The end of the age. Now I want you to notice verse 4. Jesus said, be not deceived. In other words, at the end of the age, there's going to be great deception. We can expect great deception. You can write this in your notes. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4. Paul talks about another gospel, another Jesus, another spirit. We can expect at the end of the age another gospel, another spirit, another Jesus. Another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. He said, if anyone comes unto you with another spirit, another Jesus, another gospel, let him be accursed. See, that's where we are right now. Notice what it says in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 24. The Lord Jesus said, there will be false Christs that will arise. In verse 11 and verse 23, he says there will be many false prophets that will arise. In verse 24, he said, there will be many false Christs and false prophets. I want to show you something. Turn with me, please, to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 1. Someone let me borrow their Bible for just a moment. I've got a New Testament. I need to borrow your Bible for just, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 13 and let me borrow your Bible for a moment. I want to read you something here. You turn there for me. Chapter 13. Now let me read you something here real quick. Thank you. Let me read you something here real quick. This is an amazing verse of scripture here. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. Now, he's not suggesting that we put false prophets to death today. I'm not suggesting that. But we're certainly to put them away. So the point I'm making is, the scripture says that God himself allows these false prophets to rise up to test us, to see if we will continue to be faithful to him. Look at all these healers and prosperity preachers on television today with huge crowds, and their auditoriums are filled, packed, raking in incredible amounts of money. A lady, a nurse came in to see my wife the other day and asked her about being saved. And she had ordered all of the books from one of these women preachers that's on television. And she had all of her books, and there wasn't one single thing in all of those books that would have told her how to be saved and go to heaven.
You've been listening to Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.
Due to the coronavirus pandemic and the resulting ban on public assembly of large numbers of people, Crown of Life Baptist Church will not be holding worship services at the Cambria Hotel until further notice. Please contact me at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. To learn what programs we have implemented to overcome this obstacle. Please pray for the Lord's intervention and for the health of the people of our nation and those around the world as this modern-day plague sweeps across the globe. May your faith in God and His Word increase as a result of these chilling events.